So for the final presentation today, Fabrizio Speziale, where is he? He was here a moment ago.
Here he is.
Yeah, please.
Donc d'abord, je voudrais remercier vraiment les organisateurs de ces colloques pour cette invitation. Microphone. Oui, d'accord. Bon, d'abord, je voudrais remercier donc à nouveau les organisateurs de ces colloques pour cette invitation. Et aujourd'hui, donc, je vais continuer un petit peu sur les mêmes questions, c'est-à-dire à voir un petit peu comment certaines sources indiennes ont été traduites en persan, quelle était leur réception, leur transmission. Well, I'm going to switch to English because the paper was already in English. And first, I would like to specify that I'm looking at the translation of Ayurvedic materials chiefly from the point of view of the reader perspective. And as to say, I'm not really interested in the problem of the fidelity of the translation to the original sources, which is also quite a marginalized topic in contemporary translation studies. On the contrary, what I'm mostly interested in are the changes of the meaning and the addition of new meanings determined by translation, and what we may call the reflexive outcome of translation from the reader's perspective, and it's to say the way in which translation redefines the conceptual values of the terms of the receiving. Okay. So what I'm mostly interested in are the changes in the meaning and the addition of new meanings determined by translation, and what we may call the reflexive outcomes of translation from the reader perspective, that is to say the way in which a translation redefines the conceptual values of the terms of the receiving culture which are involved in translation. In my opinion, the main issue we should look at in scientific translation is not really the process of text from translation in itself, but the fact that translation implies a shift of readership and allows the text to circulate among new networks of scholars who may not share the conceptual framework or the readers of the source materials. Therefore, I'm not really looking at what we may call the unintentional entropy of the text, and is to say the changes and corruption determined by the fact that text may be copied, read, etc. But what I'm mostly interested in is what we may call the intentional entropy of the text due to translation, when the shift from the original meaning is intentional and is sought to render the content coherent and meaningful to the readers. In my paper, I look at the methods used by Muslim scholars to translate and interpret the theory of Tridosha, that, as you know, stands at the core of the Indian medical doctrine. Several of the new Persian works, several of the new Persian works that deals with the Indian medicine, written by Muslim scholars between the 14th and the 19th century, explain the main physiological and pathological concepts of Ayurveda. The works on which I'm focusing today offer some example of the genre of the new Persian texts written by Muslim scholars that deal with Ayurveda, such as the treatise by Firishta, Shah Ahlullah, and Riza Ali Khan. Just to give a few information about some of these authors, the historian and physician Muhammad Qasim Indusha Firishte, which is the second of the list, wrote the well-known Persian handbook on Ayurveda called Dasturul Atiba when he was in Bijapur at the service of the court of the Adil Shah Sultans of Bijapur. Shah Ahlullah wrote the Takmil-e-Hindi, which is a compact handbook on Ayurveda. Shah Ahlullah was the brother of Shah Waliullah, one of the most famous theologians and Sufis of Delhi of that period. And Riza Ali Khan, which is the last of this list, wrote the Tazkiratul Hind, one of the most extensive Persian dictionary of Indian drugs that includes a first part dealing with the principles of Ayurvedic medicine. And the text was written in Hyderabad during the period of the Nizam dynasty, a period in which we have several translations of Hindi text into Persian, considering also that the third Nizam of Hyderabad I was himself an expert of medicine and both of Islamic and Ayurvedic medicine. Although this text set out to overcome the limits of Arabic classic works in the Indian environment, it is mainly through the lens of the Greco-Arabic view and its lexicon that the theory of Tridosha is translated and interpreted in the Persian medical culture of South Asia. The epistemic approach of Indian Muslim authors did not aim to extend the existing Persian technical lexicon. Persian works on Ayurveda did not aim to discuss in depth the philosophical basis of the Ayurvedic doctrine. Rather, they were conceived to render accessible to Muslim physicians the therapeutic knowledge of their Indian colleagues. The prevalent method employed by Muslim scholars to translate the components of the Tridosha is a conservative method, considering the size of the disciplinary lexicon of the receiving culture. It used the already pre-existing terms from the Greco-Arabic medieval vocabularies without assimilating the corresponding ones from the Sanskrit text. While, for example, in other disciplines, for example, if we take the Persian translation of texts on Indian astronomy, we find exactly the opposite approach. It's a Persian text which incorporates a number of Sanskrit technical terms transcribed into Persian script. The terms and concepts used to translate the theory of Tridosha were thus categories constructed by an older translation through which Muslim scholars had assimilated Greek thought at the dawn of the Muslim scientific studies during the Abbasid period. Muslim authors therefore describe and comment upon the fundamental concept of Ayurveda by using very few Sanskrit terms. The original terms are sometimes provided, such as those for the subdivision of each dosha, for which equivalent Persian terms do not exist. However, their use shows that they were not considered as fundamental elements of the translation. The concept of dosha is rendered through the Arabic term of hilt, which means humor. The plural is akhlat. While the three components of the Tridosha, Vata, Pitta, and Kapha, are reduced to the analogous categories of the Greco-Arabic medical thought. There is only apparently a congruous and compatible translation between the two lexica. The translation of the humoral lexicon by using equivalent term is actually a dedicated hermeneutical action that generates various ambiguities. The equivalence sought at lexical level could not always be translated into a precise correspondent at the conceptual level, because some of the entities defined by these terms did not share the same properties. The two medical schools are characterized by certain analogies that influence the way in which the Indian terms could be translated and interpreted by the authors and readers of this Persian text. The two traditions consider the human body as comprising a certain number of elements, and they have a physiological doctrine based on the existence of what we may call humoral principles. However, these viewpoints were characterized by fundamental differences concerning the quantity and the quality of the elements and humors. The Hippocratic doctrine of the Muslim physicians conceives four elements, air, fire, water, and earth, while Indian doctors additionally contemplate a fifth element, the ether. Further, Muslim physicians believe that the humors are four, such as the elements. These are blood, which is hot and humid, the phlegm, which is cold and wet, the yellow bile, hot and dry, and black bile, which is cold and dry. In contrast, the Indian physician have a threefold view that contemplates the wind, the phlegm, and bile. And table A shows the most frequent method used to translate the three dosha of Ayurvedic medicine into Persian works and explain how they were classified according to the four natural qualities of the Greco-Arabic philosophy. Some authors specify the association between the humors and the elements. For example, Riza Ali Khan writes that Ayurvedic phlegm is an aquatic substance, abhi. Ayurvedic safra is related to fire, while bad, vata, is of course associated with air. Avicennian physicians establish a similar connection between phlegm and element water and between bile, safra, and element fire. But despite this, the second association does not really imply a precise equivalence between the natural qualities associated with these substances in the two traditions. The term used to translate vata is the Persian bad, which means also wind, air, which is derived from the Middle Persian vat and the Western vata. Ferishta describes the characteristic of bad and emphasizes the centrality of its role in pathology in the following matter. I quote, "Know that they consider bad as cold, dry, light, rough, and subtle, latif. It moves a lot, is quick, and is capable of stimulating the other humors. They say the bad is a compound of bileum and safra, phlegm and bile, and it supports their movement. During health and disease, its action is always more important than that of the other humors, and it can move in the whole body in the blink of an eye." Unquote. Ferishta's reconstruction of the Indian doctrine therefore contemplates the idea that bad is a product, a secondary product of the two other humors. Muhammad Akbar Arzani, who died in 1722, another well-known physician, also wrote a short text on Indian medicine, which, however, does not contain a first chapter on the theoretical aspect, on the physiological, pathological aspect. Arzani also gives a similar explanation, although it changes one of the elements. According to Arzani, Ayurvedic bad is a vapor generated by the humors, especially by Balram and Sauda, the black bile. However, this interpretation is rejected by Riza Ali Khan, who says the bad is the foundation, asas, of the other humors, and that is not produced by the other elements, a view which, of course, is closer to that of the Ayurvedic sources. Muslim physicians therefore classify Ayurvedic bad as a cold and dry substance. As a result, the nature of this humor is exactly the opposite of that of the element bad in the Greek or Arabic doctrine, where it is considered as a hot and humid substance, such as blood. In the introduction of the Takvinay Hindi, Shah Akhlula attempts to clarify the question of the ambivalence of bad in the Indian doctrine, explaining that the humor of medical physiology does not correspond to the element air. This is the Persian version of the Ferishta Dashtulla Tiba. And I quote, "What is meant by bad, that they count also among the elements, are the particles of air that detach themselves after the digestion of food. The basic temperament of bad is cold and dry, however, it becomes hot when it mixes with heat, cold with coldness, wet with moisture, and dry with dryness." Unquote. The basic quality of Ayurvedic bad, paradoxically, correspond therefore to those that in the Greek or Arabic tradition are attributed to the black bile, Sauda. In this regard, it should be considered that the Sauda was also regarded as a harmful substance according to Muslim physicians, because it was the final and deteriorated product of the generation of the humors, so digestion. Reza Ali Khan clearly states that this type of interpretation, namely assimilating the qualities of Ayurvedic bad to those of Sauda, rather than to those of the element air, was present among physicians, although apparently only a minority of them. I quote, "Some interpret Tabir Mikunand Sauda by the name of Bad, but this opinion is weaker." Unquote. This passage, I think, is very interesting, especially from the analysis when we have to evaluate the role of text. And I think it tells to us that probably what we can infer by the textual source that we have is really only a limited glimpse of what was going on in the intellectual debate at that time among scholars. The analogy between the symptoms of Bad and those of Sauda is also clearly stated in Shihabuddin Nagauri Shifa ul Maraz, a text written in 1388 that represents the most important attempt to combine Muslim and Indian views about bodily humors. Actually, Nagauri proposed a combined version of the two physiological doctrines. The translation of Pitta is also problematic, and Muslim physicians do not agree on how it should be rendered into Persian. The following is Firishta definition of the qualities of the bile. I quote, according to Indian doctors, Safra is hot, wet, fluid, sour, quick, and light. Some say that from it come all the organs associated with fire, and according to Vagbhata, the Indian scholar, it is the residue of blood, unquote. Firishta translates Pitta by using the Arabic term Safra, which in the Greco-Arabic doctrine refers specifically to the yellow form of the bile. Other works also translate Pitta as Safra, such as, for example, Riza Ali Khan, Taskiratul Hind, and Said Murad Ali, Tib Muradul Shifa, a treatise written in 1779. According to Firishta, Ayurvedic Safra is a hot and humid substance. Its quality, therefore, do not correspond to those of the Greco-Arabic Safra. Because Muslim physicians believe the yellow bile is hot and dry, in a paradoxical way, the qualities of the Ayurvedic Safra correspond to those ascribed to blood in the Greco-Arabic tradition. At the same time, some authors were not completely in agreement with Firishta, such as Riza Ali Khan, who specified that the temperament, misaj, of Ayurvedic Safra can be hot and wet or dry. Otherwise, the description of the quality of Safra presented by Riza Ali Khan agrees with that of Firishta, is that the bile, is that the residue of blood is associated with fire, is light and quick, although Riza Ali Khan adds also that it emanates a bad smell. Other authors do not adopt this translation, probably in order to avoid the ambiguity with the yellow bile of the Greek or Arabic tradition. Another method used to translate Pitta is by using the Persian term talha, which also means bile, without, however, indicating only one form of this humor. Shah Ahlullah used the term talha in the Tahmilay Hindi, in which he explains that it is hot and wet. Therefore, he uses a different term, but at a conceptual level, he agrees with Frisch's definition of the qualities of the Ayurvedic bile. Similarly, other texts use the term talha, such as the Shifa al-Maraz by Shihabuddin Nagauri, where its qualities oscillate between dry and wet. The anonymous Tibbe Suleiman Shahi, Sheikh Bina ibn Hasan Khulasi Bina, and Abul Fateh Khairi Daru Shifa Aurang Shahi, which is a huge treatise on Ayurvedic medicine dedicated to the Mughal Emperor Aurangzeb. Another author, Said Mira Aidar Ali Dihlawi, who wrote the Shifa ul-Nas, did not use any of this translation for Pitta, but he used the Persian term garm, which he explained is the heat generated by the element fire. Garm means actually heat. On the contrary, the conceptual translation of phlegma, kappa, does not raise the same problem as those of Vata and Pitta. The term used is the Arabic balagham, which is probably derived from the Greek phlegma. And in this case, the translation as bubblegum also implies a similarity between the properties of the substances designated by these terms. The natural qualities that the Muslim physician associates with the Ayurvedic phlegm, cold and wet, are the same as those of the Avicennian phlegm. Ferishta writes that, I quote, "According to the view of the Indians, Balaram is the residue of the Kyle, and its nature is cold, wet, and salted. Its movement is moderate, and it's soft and viscous." Unquote. It should be noted that for Ferishta, Ayurvedic phlegm is salty. In this regard, Riza Ali Khan explains that a distinction should be made between the raw and the cooked form of the Ayurvedic phlegm. I quote, "Balgam is the residue of the chyme and is associated with water. Its cooked form is wheat, white, heavy, oily, and stark like raisin. Its raw form is a little salty, and its temperament is cold and wet." Unquote. These examples illustrate clearly the main lexical and conceptual feature of the Persian translation of the three dosha mentioned earlier. The basic terms and categories of the Indian doctrine are integrated into Persian text through the analogous terms of the Arabic-Persian scientific lexicon, rather by adding new Indian words to this lexicon. This is an intentional and shared approach. It is not a constraint imposed by the linguistic or social context. The term kaf, which is form of phlegm, existed in Persian, while terms such as dosha, vata, dhatu, pitta, and rakta that existed in Urdu may have been used in the spoken language as well as in the interaction among scholars, which was certainly one way through which Muslims acquired knowledge of Indian scientific materials. For example, Shihabuddin Nagari clearly states in his book that he'd been for a couple of years around with yogis to get proficiency in Ayurvedic medicine, and Muhammad Firishta also said that he studied with an Indian master, Chaturbhuj al-Hind. And it is important to remark that in the other direction of the exchanges, the Hikmat Prakasha, a Sanskrit text on Avicennian medicine written in 1773, which has been recently studied by Jan Meulenbelde, who published the entire English translation of the text in the e-journal of Indian medicine, the Hikmat Prakasha adopts the opposite approach of including many Arabic and Persian words in Nagari's script, especially with regard to the humoral lexicon. As another example, for example, is the, as I said, the translation of several Sanskrit texts on astronomy and astrology, in which we find a lot of long words in, transcribed in Persian script. Instead, the approach of the Persian treatise on Ayurveda is more comparable to the way in which a certain Persian text on Hinduism and Vedanta, such as Darashikoh Majmal Bahrain, freely use Islamic terms and concepts to translate the Indian doctrine, even at the risk of forcing the analogy. As we have seen, the use of homologous terms did not lead to the formulation of conceptual equivalence, except in the case of Balaram. Furthermore, lexical analogy generates conceptual asymmetries. Although pitta can be translated by using homologous technical terms such as safra and talha, the qualities that Ferishta and Ahlullah assign to Ayurvedic bile did not match those of any of the two forms of bile in the Greek or Arabic tradition, but rather those of blood. The properties of Ayurvedic bada are even contrary to those of air, bad in the Greek or Arabic doctrine, and rather close to those of the black bile, sauda. The terms of the Indian physiology can be reduced to those of the corresponding Persian lexicon, however, the corresponding concept cannot be treated in the same way. Although the translation is composed of translatable elements, the product is dissonant because it does not retain the relationship between the significant and signified in technical vocabulary of the receiving culture. However, such ambiguities were not unsolvable. The solution proposed by this text is evident, that is to say, to redefine the conceptual value of the term and of the associated category. The Persian translation of the three dosha, therefore, is not based on the extension of the lexicon, but rather on the extension of the conceptual value of the categories of the receiving culture and of its technical lexicon. The ambiguities generated by translating based on lexical analogies are thus resolved through the attribution of new values to known categories and terms. Table B recapitulates the main aspects involved in this approach. The deconstruction of the Indian doctrine elements considered as analogous by translators, the translation of such elements, the reconstruction of the original theory from the translated concepts, and finally, the extension of the conceptual field of the Persian terms involved in translation. In the Indo-Persian medical lexicon, Bad and Safra therefore become polysemic terms and categories. In the Persian text on Ayurveda, Bad and Safra and Khun define new concept whose characteristics differ from those associated with such principle in all the rest of the Persian and Arabic medical literature. In terms of medical practice, this means that Muslim physicians and readers of this text needed to avoid confusing this concept with the conventional meanings of the same terms, as this would obviously have led to erroneous, dangerous consequences in the diagnosis and the treatment of diseases. Interpretation indeed plays a central role in the Muslim reading of certain notions of the Indian doctrine, such as the case of Pitta and the inferences of his qualities. As seen in the passages above, one of the main concerns of the Muslim physician is to define the nature of the three dosha based on the four natural qualities of the Greek philosophy. However, a description such, for example, that given in the Charakasamhita actually fails to specify if Pitta is wet or dry. Muslim physicians were forced to infer this quality from the other properties of the substance. Therefore, the authors of this text were not always in agreement on how certain concepts should be interpreted. For example, if Pitta was wet or both wet and dry, or if there was an analogy between Sauda and Bad. Therefore, the translation of the three dosha also involved examining the meaning of some of the main conceptual categories of the Muslim view, and the way in which this could be used to translate the other, as well as to explain the changes undertaken by the temperament of bodies in a different climatic condition, such as those of India. As I have explained in some recent articles, this climatic explanation is presented by Muslim physicians as the main reason for studying Ayurvedic learning. This type of translation shows the terms and concepts of the humoral doctrine were not static elements defined by the immutable criteria of the classic Arabic text. Instead, they were dynamic and flexible terms that allowed also to use the same words by changing the semantic register. Notwithstanding the conceptual dissonance, none of these authors thought it necessary to change the approach and adopt systematically Indian terms rather than the Arabic Persian equivalents, for the fear this could contradict the canonical definition of the humors given in classical Abyssinian authors. And not just last paragraph. In other words, Muslim writers have not set out to differentiate radically their terms and concepts from those of their Indian colleagues, particularly through the adoption of different terms from those of the Abyssinian lexicon. In this approach, the translation based on lexical analogy, on lexical homologies, terms such as Bad and Safra can be easily stripped of their usual conceptual identity and dressed in new Ayurvedic clothes, providing new concepts that also aim to interpret the changes of the temperament of the body determined by the Indian climate. The Persian translation of the three dosha is therefore a process that Indianizes the Persian medical lexicon by adding local conceptual values to establish the scientific terms and categories. Thank you.